This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. This week, we delve into risk management. Our guest is Dr. Tom Zacharias, president of the National Crop Insurance Services. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the Soy Checkoff. Dr. Tom Zacharias with NCIS is next. Wanted to take a moment and talk to soybean farmers. Nearly 500,000 of you are in the U.S. growing over 4 billion bushels of soybeans a year. And the Soy Checkoff is working hard to grow demand, innovating, testing, and showcasing new uses in new industries such as firefighting foam, tires, straws, shoes, or 1,000 other products. To learn more, visit unitedsoybean.org and keep on growing. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Crop losses from drought, flood, and other severe weather events has taken its toll on farmers and ranchers across the country. Dr. Tom Zacharias, president of the National Crop Insurance Services, says underwriting companies have weathered similar challenges and are ready for what a new crop year might bring.
Well, these are insurance entities, reinsurance entities as well, who are large-scale financial risk management businesses, and they have been doing this for quite some time. We'll go back in history, not too long, but long enough. Many of our mainline companies go back well over 100 years in the crop insurance business, okay? And they have managed through, but the state-regulated side of the business, as well as the partnerships that have been formed since 1980, 1994, 14 and 18 Farm Bill. All this has strengthened that structure, and again, it goes to the inherent strength of the public-private partnership. So these companies have managed the risk of, you go back to, in 88, you had low participation. 93, you had low participation. You had drought and excessive flood. You fast forward to the Reform Act, and you start putting this thing on an upward trajectory. The revenue products come in 97. Then you fast forward, because of the groundwork that was laid, by the time you get to 2011, when you had severe drought in the southern plains and you had flooding in along I-29, that was closed. The system handled both those weather events. The next year was about $17.4 billion in losses due to the 2012 flood. Fast forward on that one, you get to 2019, prevented planting losses in the Midwest, 2020 the derecho, and then more recently the hurricanes that we've just seen that you're mentioning as we speak. And because of the financial wherewithal of the companies involved and the strength of the partnership with USDA, program is able to respond effectively, and keep growing. You fast forward to the Farm Bill, or not fast forward, but look to the Farm Bill and the commodity organizations, the farm organizations, and their top 2 to 3 priorities are the importance of making sure crop insurance is strengthened and improved.
So in Washington, they're talking about an ad hoc disaster program for the hurricanes and other events that have taken place. For those who had crop insurance, how quickly was the response for those who suffered loss?
That's a great question. Starting in 2020, there was an index product developed by USDA RMA, and it was a supplemental attached to the underlying multi-peril policy. And as a matter of fact, I believe there were about 5 storms that came into the Gulf that year when this was introduced. In this particular year, 2024, you had Helene, Milton, and Debbie. And with those storms, approximately $800 million in indemnities have been paid from that index policy that's triggered off weather conditions. And that aid, that benefit, those indemnities went out in less than 10 to 15 days.
From where you sit and from what you've heard and data that you've seen, is there still a need for ad hoc disaster assistance for disasters this year?
Well, with insurance, there is a deductible in the majority of these policies, and that deductible is, you know, it's not covered by the insurance policy. To the extent to which lawmakers, policy holders, et cetera, review this and feel that, you know, the insurance needs to be augmented with ad hoc disaster. And the other side of this coin that you raise is if you look at the conditions in overall farm country to begin with the decline in commodity prices, increase in input costs, there is hurt in farm country. So if ad hoc disaster is put forth, obviously the belief is there is a need for that, and we'll see how that plays out.
Tom, there was a suggestion by a number of different legislators over time, certainly not resolved yet, but finding a way or seeking to see if there was a way to use crop insurance to allow higher levels or coverage for catastrophic events so that it would eliminate the need or certainly reduce the need for Congress to have to come in with ad hoc disaster. What's good about that idea, and what makes that a very challenging concept?
Well, I think with any of these initiatives, what you don't want to do is you don't want to disincentivize crop insurance purchases in the long run. Whatever ad hoc system is put in place, and there have been provisions in there to for recipients of ad hoc disaster to continue to purchase crop insurance. So you don't want to disincentivize, or you want to keep incentivizing crop insurance. Now, depending upon the nature of how that's done, some of these ideas will be perhaps more effective than others. Probably in my recent history, our recent history, 2019, if you look at those prevented planting losses, I think there was about $4.2 billion went out on that. And in that summer, USDA reached out to the insurance companies and said, hey, can we, I'll use informal language, top these off. There was a top-off disaster element to those prevented planting losses, and I think that was to the tune of about another $500 million, and those chicks went out the door pretty quickly. So in designing an ad hoc disaster mechanism, I think the importance is to realize how effective the private sector can be in helping with that in terms of the discussion on the front end and possible delivery on the back end.
You mentioned in comments earlier the various changes that have taken place in crop insurance. How has participation fared with the major crops? What about specialty crops? And how have livestock producers embraced?
Coverage for quote-unquote field crops has increased steadily. If you look at that, there's probably, if you include the pasture rangeland product, you got about 500 million acres insured there. Major grain crops, those coverages are fairly stable, particularly in the Midwest. Coverage levels across the U.S., you probably for field crops got about 90% of that acreage with 70% coverage levels or higher, which is a phenomenal tribute to hardworking men and women purchasing this coverage and the hardworking women and men trying to provide this coverage. If you go to specialty crops for a few minutes, back in 2014, that farm bill, there was approximately $14 billion in liability coverage for specialty crops. That increased to currently about $25 billion. If you go in between there with the 18 farm bill, liability was about $18 billion for specialty crops and increased to that $25 million. So we've seen a steady growth in specialty crop coverage. There's a lot of work that's being done, has been done with RMA, with specialty crop folks. Is it as fast as some would like? There's always room to grow and expand that. I think the acreage element of that is in pretty good shape, but the coverage levels, they're not the 75-80% coverage levels you see in corn and soybean country. They're more in the 60-65% level. So we got to work through those issues and find a solution there.
So when we look at the economics of farming today, input costs have skyrocketed. But at the same time that input costs and labor costs and fuel and the rest have moved up, the price especially for bulk commodities has moved down. What challenge does this present for your crop insurance customers and for the industry, for those who are looking for effective risk management tools?
Yeah, well, if you look at the, three to five top field crop commodity crops, those base prices from 23 to 24 pretty much dropped double digit. And then if you look at the revenue policies, similarly from the base price to harvest, you had that decline. To your point on input costs, fertilizer costs, as a percent of expected revenue, that's down from 25%, say, in 2023, down to the high teens now. Okay, so what challenge does that present? Well, for the folks that I work for, that's lower premium income, okay? The value of the insurance is tied to the value of the asset. Value of the asset drops, so does the value of the liability, the coverage that's out there. Similarly for the farmers, lower coverage, ability to cover cost of production. There's a natural, tension and friction there, okay? And in terms of where do you go from here, I think in the event, because we're seeing it, the lower price regime, this is a time for farmers to sit down with their agents and figure out what their options are. There's different coverage levels, different product suites that farmers can look at, perhaps in lower commodity price regime. Maybe they are able to buy up a coverage level because, prices are somewhat lower. Or they should look at the supplemental coverages, the stacks, the ECO, supplemental coverage option. These types of instruments are available, and that's a strength, again, of the system that we've got. And, so sitting down with a qualified agent to look through what the choices are, is the way to think about it.
So the simple question is the safety net adequate between the farm program and certainly crop insurance? And it appears to me over a period of time that we have shifted more of the financial risk management task to the shoulders of the farmers with their agents to make purchases of crop insurance and also their marketing plan. So given the circumstances that we have today, the question is, can farmers really afford the risk coverage that they need?
Yeah, I believe they can. If you look at what farmers are effectively paying the last few years for crop insurance, it's a significant amount of money. On just the crop side of the business, farmers spend about $6 billion in aggregate for multi-peril crop insurance. On the livestock products, I believe producer paid premium is just under $1 billion. And then for state-regulated crop hail wind products, that is approximately, $1.4 billion. So farmers are spending around $8 billion of their own money to buy risk protection. And in many cases, crop insurance has not been designed to make one whole. But that said, it does cover a significant portion of variable cost of production, which keeps folks farming for the next year.
So let's move to Washington inside the Beltway and up on the Hill. What's at play for crop insurance now as Congress is considering perhaps yet another extension of the Farm Bill? Are there implications for the industry if they extend, or what options really need to be reviewed as we look at writing a new five-year plan?
Well, I think going back to the earlier part of the conversation, the certainty is that with permanent legislation, crop insurance keeps working for the farmers that it's intended to serve. That permanent legislation is an aside. Even when there's a government shutdown, crop insurance system is still up and running. So if there's an extension, we keep working with the farmers that we serve. And then if we look to the Farm Bill itself, as we, you know, go through the end of this year with discussions of ad hoc disaster potentially, and look at the needs that we hear in farm country, when we sit down to a Farm Bill, then strengthen and improve, you know, take a hard look at what the choices are, what the dollars are, and invest in the risk management part of the program. Because again, farmers have voted, with their pocketbooks on their belief that crop insurance is the way to help manage their risk over the long run.
So what happens to the crop insurance balance if Congress were to try to take away the subsidy or put a means test on the size of producer and the subsidy received for the premium?
Well, and I think in that case, it just erodes the benefits and the stability that's been produced over time. Both Congress and the farm organizations working together have strengthened crop insurance over the years. And why in the world, in these set of conditions, one would look at eroding that makes no sense. That's not in the interest of the growers that our industry serves, and I don't think it's in the interest of the American taxpayer either.
There's the side of the crop insurance business that's like, I suppose, any other business. I buy life insurance, and I hope I don't collect it. But there are those who purchase crop insurance because it's affordable, but they don't collect very often. There are others who purchase crop insurance, and because of their climate, the soil, and the rest, or just bum luck, they've been collecting more often. It takes both to survive this program, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it's the actuarial balance, okay? There is a mix of business across the U.S. You know, obviously certain regions have more favorable growing conditions, more stable climate, okay? But that's, you know, why we have an insurance system is to balance those risks so that this can be provided, you know, for the benefit of all.
Has there ever been discussion of a soil health score and perhaps the premium that might be charged because some soil's better than others, and if farmers are using sustainable practices and building the overall composition of the soil, that they stand a better chance of not seeing as much loss? Has that ever been introduced or even kicked around?
There have been some academic studies in this regard, improved emphasis on the rating through, you know, introduction of a soil variable. I think some of that work is done out of University of Illinois. That said, if you look at the structure of the current program, it's based on producers' individual yields, okay, which he grew those yields on that soil. So in some sense, the current system, the approved production history aspect of this incorporates that to begin with. So now, could there be refinements that could be made? Sure, we should always look at that. But inherently, the premium rates that are charged for these farmers are based on what they've grown on their respective farms.
So farm machines today, Tom, provide a lot greater level of information and much more accurate information on plantings, on the harvest, and certainly on yield. Are these systems being embraced and incorporated into the crop insurance industry today?
Yeah, there's much greater use of precision ag to streamline the efficiency between the farmer and the agent to the company. And then this, the feedback loop on this, it improves the reporting of the accuracy of the yields, which you're referring to in terms of soil health. So the more accurate yields that we get off that piece of ground, that in essence is addressing the issue you raised a minute ago. Also, the improvement of collecting that data much more efficiently and quickly helps in the claims process to turn around in the event that there is a loss of paying these claims, you know, in a matter of days, not, you know, years or months with ad hoc disaster. Use of drone technology for measuring prevent plant acres. Other applications are being used by the companies that are running this business. So, yeah, technological improvement helps. And that's also the advantage or an advantage of having the private sector involved. They're able to deploy these technologies much quicker than if this was administered, say, by the public sector. And with that flexibility, they can bring these tools to interface with the farmers and improve the claims process and the accuracy of the data that is collected at the farm level.
So let's look out the windshield and just at 25, what's ahead for the bulk commodities, for specialty crops, and again, for livestock producers, any amendments or changes that they'll be able to take advantage of in the new year?
Well, let's see here. Specialty crops, there are a number of new programs that are being worked on now. I think, let's see here. There's some work on mushrooms, specialty crops. You get a mix in those. Date palms, revenue coverage for plums, fresh market beans. These are all in the mill, okay, so to speak. For livestock, that program has grown tremendously over the past several years. I think previously it was about $1 billion in premium. It's grown to $1.4 billion. There's a weaned calf pilot that's been introduced that allows protection against loss of weaning weight and decline in revenue for those growers. And, oh, that's pilot and South Dakota, Texas, a few sort of plain states. The Dairy Revenue Program introduced in 19 covers against loss of yield revenue for dairy producers on a quarterly basis. So all those are, you know, in the mill. In terms of improvements for the major crops, I think just refinements, fine-tuning those systems. You have high levels of participation and high levels of coverage. So it'll be interesting to see what, probably in that space, with respect to the Farm Bill, how things play out with respect to, say, the supplemental coverages that are covering parts of the deductible.
Tom Zacharias, we want to thank you for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. You've been here before, and you know today the last word is yours.
Well, I would put it in these terms. A, we, with the new administration coming in, the American voters have indicated, you know, their preference. And with that, we applaud the nomination or appointment of the new Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. The Trump administration, the prior administration, we have a success of working with those folks. During that time, we underwent the losses in the derecho. We worked through the 2019 preventive planning. And then the 2018 Farm Bill was signed by President Trump. So with the new administration, there's new opportunities, and we look forward to working with those folks. I think there'll be an emphasis on the business aspect and the private sector efficiency in crop insurance, and we welcome that opportunity.
Our thanks to Dr. Tom Zacharias, President of the National Crop Insurance Services, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the Soy Checkoff. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Daly.